The views and opinions of findings and/or devices discussed in this podcast are those of the host, subject matter experts, and/or guests. Facts represented constitute our understanding at the time of the podcast, whereas updated factual information may be developed. They should not be construed as pronouncing an official Department of Defense's position, policy, decision, or endorsement. The host and guests of Cubist may be defense contract personnel who support TBI-COE. Status of all hosts and guests will be identified during introductions to the podcast. Hi, welcome to Clinical Updates in Brain Injury Science Today, or Cubist, a podcast for healthcare providers about current research on traumatic brain injury, also known as TBI. This program is produced by the TBI Center of Excellence, or TBI-COE. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Monti, a contractor in support of TBI-COE. Today, I'll be speaking with Dr. Carrie Hoppus. Dr. Hoppus is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, former director of the Army Baylor University Doctoral Program in Physical Therapy, and is currently a senior research scientist and a contractor at the Geneva Foundation. Dr. Hoppus and I will discuss her group's study titled Utility of the Vestibular Ocular Motor Screening in Military Medicine, a Systematic Review, which was published in Military Medicine Online in October 2024. Carrie, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Katie.
All right. Before we get into this study, I was wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, specifically about your career in the military. What led you to become a physical therapist and then a research scientist?
Absolutely. So when I was in college, I was majoring in athletic training and I was an ROTC scholarship cadet, and there wasn't a role for athletic trainers on active duty. So I was very fortunate to get into the Army Baylor Physical Therapy Program, and that launched me on my physical therapy career. I spent a lot of time at major military medical centers as well as teaching at the Army Baylor Program. And as far as how did I get interested in research, when I was a young intern and junior staff physical therapist at Walter Reed, I had the opportunity to be mentored by, at the time, Major Skip Gill and Colonel Barbara Springer. They've since retired, but they really inspired me to pursue clinical research, and I just have loved it ever since.
That's really great. I appreciate you sharing that story with us. And I just remember probably back in 2019 or so, seeing you up on stage at our Warfighter Brain Health Symposium back here at JBLM giving a talk. And so it's really great to kind of see things come full circle and have you here on this podcast.
Thank you very much.
So this article caught my attention because while I was on active duty, I not only used the VOMS in my evaluation of concussed service members, but I also taught the VOMS to many military providers and medics. Can you briefly describe for our listeners what the VOMS is and what it's used for?
Sure. So the VOMS, for short, is the Vestibular Ocular Motor Screening. It's a brief screening tool for identifying vestibular and ocular motor symptoms and impairments after concussion. It consists of seven items: smooth pursuit, horizontal saccades, vertical saccades, horizontal and vertical vestibular ocular reflex, as well as the near point of convergence and visual motion sensitivity. So we ask our patients to rate their headache, dizziness, nausea, and fogginess on a 0 to 10 scale at baseline. And then we ask them what their symptoms are after each of these tests, as well as measuring near point of convergence distance three different times.
And how are providers supposed to interpret those scores?
So in the original article, anything that was a near point of convergence distance greater than or equal to 5 centimeters, and any of those single VOMS item symptom scores that were greater than or equal to 2, were able to distinguish concussed athletes from non-concussed athletes.
Getting to your article, can you share with us why the systematic review was done?
Sure. So as we were going about conducting a study in conjunction with Lori King, she's a researcher for Oregon Health and Science University, we were collecting normative data on service members at Joint Base San Antonio on Fort Sam Houston. And one of the tasks we were asked to collect data on was the VOMS. We were curious to know, how does the VOMS fit into not only the MACE-2, but also into kind of the broader practice of military medicine. And that led us down this path to try to do this in a systematic way to answer that question that our team had.
Interesting. Can you talk me through how you did this review? What kind of studies did you include and exclude?
So we put our search terms into PubMed, and we started to include articles that researched concussion or even those that were being performed on healthy individuals or individuals that might have something that could modify the way an individual would present post-concussion or what might impact their recovery, things like migraine or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or learning disorder. Once we developed our inclusion and exclusion criteria, we did a title search. So when we put our search terms into PubMed and got back all of these articles, the first thing our team did was independently have two reviewers screen the titles to see if they related to our topic. If they related to our topic, we pulled the full text of those articles and then had two independent reviewers assess those to determine if they were eligible based on our inclusion and exclusion criteria and related to our clinical question.
This sounds like a lot of articles that you probably found. How did you kind of classify all these various articles looking at VOMS and these different populations?
You're right. So our search term yielded 231 articles. And what we tried to do was pare those down into articles that related to three separate topics. Were they helpful in diagnosis, prognosis, or return to duty or progression through rehabilitation? So we tried to organize our 59 articles that we ended up with into these three domains or these three themes.
And your article goes into quite a bit of detail about the key findings of several studies, and we invite our listeners to read the article for those details. But if you had to highlight three or four key findings from your review that you think would be most relevant to military healthcare providers, what would they be?
I think the first is that we found the VOMS had strong psychometric properties, and that's important so that we can be assured that it's not only internally consistent, so that's how well the different items in the VOMS measure this same underlying concept of vestibular and ocular motor symptomology, but also that it's reliable for test-retest reliability. It was moderate to good for that, so we can put our faith in the tool, so I think that's important. The second one was really looking at this idea of applying the VOMS for diagnosing concussed service members. And we didn't find much in the literature specific to service members, only six articles of the 59 that we looked at. But I think based on what we were seeing, the VOMS overall symptom score had the highest accuracy in identifying someone who was concussed from non-concussed. Also, individuals that rated vertical saccades greater than one on their symptoms or horizontal vestibular ocular reflex greater than two. And so I think we can start to use it to drive more confidence in our concussion diagnosis when we look at this overall symptom burden on the VOMS and these particular items as well.
So in the article, you also mention some articles that were related to prognosis. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So what we found is that individuals that had a positive VOMS score seemed to take longer to recover. They seemed to be 2.6 times more likely to have a delayed recovery, which meant returning in greater than 30 days. Those that had a delayed presentation to get care for their concussion, this kind of wait and see approach, they actually seemed to be about 5.8 times more likely to have a delayed recovery, again defined as greater than 30 days. So I think it speaks to symptom burden and how these particular symptoms may speak to some of the underlying neuropathology that's going on, that these particular items seem to be indicative of perhaps a longer course of recovery and something to be mindful of.
And what were some of the findings around recovery and rehabilitation that you found?
Yeah, so at least for adolescent athletes, it seemed that the VOMS could be used as a measure for monitoring how their symptoms were changing during the course of their rehabilitation or the course of their recovery. It seemed that the VOMS impairments that are identified, so having trouble with these ocular and these vestibular related tasks, they did seem responsive to rehabilitation, even in individuals that had chronic symptoms or those that may have symptoms in conjunction with a whiplash associated injury. So I think that speaks to the benefits of rehabilitation and perhaps early referral for that rehabilitation, and that individuals who were compliant with rehabilitation did very well and had optimal outcomes from that.
What were some of the main limitations of this systematic review?
So I think one of the things is we were limited on our own time and resources. The gold standard, of course, would have been doing a meta-analysis of the 59 different articles that we included to really get into the true diagnostic properties of the VOMs. Unfortunately, our team wasn't able to do that, so we took this approach of doing more of a qualitative analysis of what we found in the literature. I think the other limitation is the paucity of research performed in the service member population. Here we are wanting to apply this to acute concussive injury in the military, and there were very few studies that included military service members as their primary population for us to know, is this tool truly beneficial in service members, especially service members that may be injured by blast-related pathology as opposed to sport-related concussion, and is it different in young adolescent athletes and collegiate athletes from our service member population?
These are all really important considerations when interpreting the findings you discussed. So based on this review, what did you identify as some of the challenges of applying the MACE-2 and VOMs in military medicine, whether in clinic or while deployed?
I think one of the things is provider comfort. I think there is this idea that the VOMs is difficult to perform or maybe takes too long to perform. And to that, I would say it just takes dedication and practice to invest in developing that skill so you feel comfortable using it not only in clinic, but perhaps when there's more of an emergent situation, such as in a deployed environment. So I think practice and training are key to closing that gap on provider comfort with the tool. I think sometimes providers may be hesitant to try to implement it if they don't have the listed items of having access to a metronome. And if you are in a situation where you don't have those things, I think with practice, the speed becomes a little bit ingrained and that you're able to approximate the set speeds. And even without that metronome, I think using the tool and its 7 items would be very beneficial, even if not perfectly performed at the standard speed, that you'll still get valuable information, confidence in your concussion diagnosis, or in identifying areas of impairment that may be amenable to rehabilitation.
Practice, you know, definitely improves confidence. I remember the first time I administered the VOMs, it took me about 25 minutes to go back and read through the instructions and actually perform each test. And with practice, I got it down to under 5 minutes. So I can definitely attest to practice. So thank you for sharing some of those barriers, because I think that they're important to consider when we're developing tools for concussion assessment. So what do you want our military providers out there to take away from this systematic review on the utility of VOMs in military medicine?
I think I would summarize it as a helpful tool in acutely concussed individuals who aren't already overtly symptomatic. I think in those that are overtly symptomatic, it doesn't add a lot of diagnostic value, and that it can be put aside for a few days to then help identify impairments amenable to rehabilitation. I think in someone that's subacute or perhaps even chronic, it becomes a very helpful tool to identify these ocular and vestibular concussion clinical subtypes. And we could use this to refer individuals for early targeted rehabilitation.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for sharing your group study with us. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
I would be remiss if I didn't thank our 2 co-authors that were instrumental in completing this work, Captain Stephanie Fall and Thomas Garcia de la Huerta, who goes by Nico. Without Steph and Nico, this work would not have been possible, so I appreciate them very much. Also, the leadership of Dr. Lori King, who was the principal investigator of the RETURN study and who supported this work with her study team. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Research is definitely a team effort.
Absolutely.
So that's all the time we have for today. You can stay up to date on future episodes by subscribing to Cubist wherever you listen to podcasts, where you can also find links to the articles we discuss and other relevant resources. Cubist is produced and edited by Vinnie White and was hosted today by me, Dr. Katie Monty. It is a product of the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence under the Research and Engineering Directorate of the Defense Health Agency, led by Branch Chief Dr. Katie Stout. Thank you for listening to this episode.